Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak, coming to you guys on a Saturday morning because we love you so much and because we are doing the guest mock draft series where we are up to number 9, the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you guys haven't listened to the previous podcast, what we're doing is we're having a beat reporter, insider, somebody who really follows these teams closely on for every team of the first round, getting us caught up on everything that's going on around the team, some behind-the-scenes information, then eventually having them make a pick in a mock draft. Right now, as it goes, we have Joe Burrow number 1, Chase Young 2, Jeff Okuda 3, Jedrick Wills 4, Tua Tagovailoa 5, Justin Herbert 6, Javon Kinlaw went 7, Isaiah Simmons went 8 to the Arizona Cardinals, and now we're up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Benjamin, Jaguars could go a lot of different directions before we bring our guest on. Do you have a hint on which way we might be leaning here for Jacksonville?
Listen, you got 2 first-round picks, and you just sold all your good players. Go get more good players. I don't really care where they play at this stage. You have a couple positions that are set, but right now, if you're in such a significant stage of rebuilding where you just got to hit, the position don't really matter too much anymore. Go get yourself a good player. So focus on the top of the board. We'll see what we get.
It's been a wild ride in Jacksonville with this team over the last 2 years. So to help us understand it the way that we need to properly project this draft pick here at number 9, we have a good friend of mine, good friend of the pod, Ben Murphy from First Coast News in Jacksonville with us. Ben, my man, so good to hear from you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, unless you understand nightmares, it's going to be tough to understand the Jacksonville Jaguars, but let's get to it.
Man, I would argue that a lot of fans think that they understand nightmares, although the one in Jacksonville has been very unique. Normally, I kind of turn back the clock about a year, have our guests bring us in about what happened in 2019, but to understand how we got to where we are currently with the Jacksonville Jaguars, we got to go back to the end of 2017, right? Because that's when this team made the playoffs. They hosted a playoff game against the Bills. They made a deep playoff run. It looked like this was going to be a young, dominant defense that was going to be on the forefront of the NFL for years. Now here we are. It just seems like all of those pieces are gone. Ben, how in the world did we get here with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Tell us what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, there was a couple things they did wrong. Obviously, they paid the wrong man. Not going to say that I didn't like Blake Bortles as a human being, but cash was distributed that it shouldn't have correctly. Nick Foles, on top of that, didn't produce like they expected to, and they didn't have any money for Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, A.J. Boye. So what do you do when you don't have money for those guys? Well, you try to hit the reset button. On top of the cash flow issue, they brought in a man who ran a system outside of the field that really didn't fit this young, aggressive locker room that was flashy, and that was Tom Coughlin, who kind of changed the culture within the locker room. And we had players admit that to us, that look, things were different after 2016 and 2017. Yeah, he was there for that 2017 season, but it was still kind of a layover of what Dave Caldwell built to get into that AFC championship game. And then they paid Bortles a little prematurely, and from there it was injuries and a disaster.
Yeah, and you brought up Dave Caldwell and kind of riding the coattails of the roster he built into the AFC Championship game. It's funny, I was working on the Jaguars for a project that we have on TDN staff we haven't yet really revealed, but man, Dave Caldwell's drafted pretty well for a team that's been so beat up and so beleaguered, and he's gone under such scrutiny. He's had the job for so long, but you look at some of these classes, what he was able to do in the Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue class, and what he potentially did with the Juwan Taylor, Josh Allen draft class. He's really hit early, and so Caldwell now stepping into an undisputed role in charge of the front office for really the second time in his tenure. Now the Tom Coughlin era is over. How secure is his job, and is there faith in Jacksonville that, hey, this is the guy to turn this around? Because we've seen him put together some really good draft classes. We want him making these 3 picks in the top 45, so we think that's our best chance to getting to compete as quickly as possible.
Yeah, the issue that people in Jacksonville have had with Caldwell was his lack of success in some of the first-rounders he's had over the last 7 years, specifically Luke Jokel, Blake Bortles. I think people will dive in and say Fournette was a little bit of a stretch in the top 7 or whatever it was, 5 maybe. There was some trading Dante Fowler. There were some picks that when you're picking in the top 10 that you have got to hit, and he just didn't. Now, granted, he has been better later in the draft, as we saw with Ngakoue, as we saw with Minshew this year. He has been able to put Miles Jack, was a good find, Jawan Taylor last year, getting him to fall out, because I know him, he was projected at some, in some mock drafts for them to take with their first round pick last year, and to be able to get him later in the draft was a good find. The perception around Caldwell and Marone right now is that, oh, they were going to get canned last year, so this has to be a one-year trial kind of deal. Personally, I think they're going to be back again next year. Well, at least Caldwell, you see they're selling everything. They're not built to win, so what are we doing if you don't keep him?
Right.
You put half your foot in the water when you know that this team this year is going to be starting 4, 5, 6 rookies. You're not going to win more than 5 games. So what was the point of bringing him back? So if I'm projecting, I got to think Caldwell's back next year. They've sold the ranch. You know, this year's probably a bust anyways. So why not get a new regime in now if you were going to do that? So I wouldn't be shocked to see, even if they struggle this year, that Caldwell is back next year.
Yeah, that was something that we've talked about on this podcast. I think we almost had a whole podcast devoted to it. It just it seems so split what they're doing, because like you mentioned there, they seem like hot seat guys last year. They get Brock back and now they're selling everybody off. I think I'm with you. If you bring them back, you almost have to bring them back for 2 years, which kind of segues into another question here. You know, when Jalen Ramsey left, he was pretty vocal about not being happy with the team, right? And I'm sure that when he left, and we're seeing how all these other guys are kind of being shipped off, and Ngakoue's another one, there have probably been some thoughts in the locker room of, hey, we don't exactly trust the guys who are running this team. We're not really a fan of that stuff. I know that Coughlin is gone. Was it really just him? Because the other guys are still in the front office, right? I mean, Marone's still the head coach of the team. Caldwell is still the GM. Is keeping them on still fine for this locker room, or is there still some distrust going on with some of these players, you think?
Yeah, I think Marone was kind of out of the picture as far as the locker room likes Marone. The locker room likes playing for Marone. I think the Ngakoue situation was fractured last June and July before training camp. Coughlin kind of rushed through and said, that's not our number, while they were still negotiating, from everything I've gathered. And as far as Jalen Ramsey, kind of a similar situation, to where it was less about the money and more about, this is how we do things, Jalen, and you're not going about it, not showing up to training camp on his own, or him doing separate workouts when there were team workouts, mini camp, everything else that he could have been there to participate in. Tom Coughlin didn't like that, and he made it pretty loud and clear to Jalen that he didn't like that, and you know how Jalen can be. It was a lot of Caldwell kind of being guilty by association with Tom Coughlin. So I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now with Ngakoue, is that he was kind of tainted with this relationship early on between him and Caldwell, because Coughlin did pull the trigger on negotiations early, saying, hey, that's not what we're going to pay you. And if you don't like it, you don't like it, but that's what we're doing. And that's what we've gotten to this point with.
We have Caldwell. Coughlin's out, Caldwell's in, Marone is in. The other guy who's out that's significant is Nick Foles, who was the big signing last season. He was the big money quarterback, the Super Bowl winner. He was going to become the veteran. He gets ousted due to, in large part, the successful performance of the sixth-round rookie you mentioned earlier, Gardner Minshew, quarterback out of Washington State. Trading Nick Foles, congratulations for getting rid of that contract and getting a pick. That's a big win. Now Minshew's the starter, seemingly unquestionably. I made the joke about Herbert being the pick at 9 in the pre-show. We chatted about it, but Minshew's going to be that dude. What is the ceiling with a guy like Minshew in the pocket for the Jaguars? Is he really good enough that this team can legitimately tell their fan base, listen, we're trying to win some football games, and we think we have a quarterback of the future here, or is he just a tank quarterback? What do we have? What do we get from him in year one? What do you think we're going to have from him in year two?
So, and while this is going to be – I would say take this with a grain of salt, but I love the current quarterback situation in Jacksonville, probably more than I have at any other time. Why? Because they can take this season, they can find out if Minshew is the real deal. I saw a projection yesterday where I saw his ceiling as Tony Romo, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. Not overwhelming arm strength, mobile in the pocket, playmaker. Hey, that's a ceiling. So, not saying he's going to get there, but
now we're gonna take that quote and we're just gonna print it everywhere and just put your name straight on it. So, congrats on getting on ESPN.
they're gonna take this season, figure out if he's the guy. But guess what? You got a couple guys in the draft next year where if Gardner's not the guy, this team's gonna win three games.
Yeah.
And you know what's in the wings next year. So if they're going to find out if he can sustain an offense for an entire season. If he's not the guy, then they're sitting pretty next year because this roster is not enough anywhere else to help Minshew, a struggling Minshew out. If he's not taking more of a load and is proving that he's not going to be a long-term guy, then they are going to be just fine next year in the quarterback situation with the draft class that's coming in.
Yeah, I feel like, and when I was analyzing their roster and their situation, I actually came to the same conclusion. I did. I think that them being committed to Minshew this year is a win-win for them because either the guy continues to elevate and pan out and you find a sixth-round steal that you might be able to just work with now, or he's not good. And you draft a quarterback high next year. I think they're making the right decision by putting themselves in this position with quarterbacks. So you mentioned the roster isn't exactly what they want it to be. Certainly not yet. They're selling off some guys. They've got pieces to add. You know, when we were doing mocks, say, 2-3 months ago, we were like, okay, they need a corner, so let's mock them a corner. Okay, they need a wide receiver, let's mock them a wide receiver. But it seems like other needs have come to the forefront for this team, including on both trenches. Is that where you see those team needs forming for Jacksonville? What are the big areas that they really have to address to compete in 2020 and beyond?
Good Lord, they could not stop the run. I mean,
they
got absolutely just beat up in the trenches last year, and then injuries at linebacker didn't help. Quincy Williams, that they took in the third round last year, did not pan out. They cut Marcell Dareus because his contract was taking too much, and they're just going to have to spend elsewhere. Obviously, the Ngakoue situation here is blowing up, getting rid of Calais Campbell. They got to go D-line. They got to be able to stop the run, and I think that's – I would be like you guys said, if it's not Brown, if it's not Okuda, if it's not Simmons at nine, I would see him kind of wine and dine and maybe fall back a little bit and see if they can't get Kinlaw at a later spot, maybe mid first round, because they got to be able to stop the run and they need some boys. But yeah, you're right. Corner is also a need.
So then when we look at the options that are here on the board at nine, we've got, you know, like you said, a player like Javon Kinlaw, he's gone. Jeffrey Kuda, obviously off the board. Isaiah Simmons, one pick previous. I'm curious to know, who is your pick here at nine if the board falls this way? And especially if we have some of these names off, do you think Jacksonville, even with those three picks in the top 45, is a candidate to be trading back if they have a board that they don't like, recoup more picks, try to get more starters, and really jumpstart this rebuild?
I said the same thing about their draft slot this year as I did last year. I think they're a prime candidate to fall back, but as what you saw last year, you could have taken a random guy off the street and he could have taken Josh Allen at seven. He fell in their lap, and I think that's kind of the same situation we're looking at in this draft here. I'm taking Derek Brown. If he's there at nine, they're taking him. I would be shocked otherwise. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like when Jalen Ramsey fell to him. I believe the Cowboys took Elliott right before him.
Yep.
And Caldwell was like, yep, we're taking Jalen. Same thing with Josh Allen and same thing with Derek Brown here. I think it's kind of one of those funky situations where your guy just – you're not sure if he's going to get there, gets there, and you got to pull the trigger.
Before we let you go, I want to flip to the other side of the trenches because we've heard some rumors of, you know, where Cam Robinson might be playing next year, what the real weaknesses of the offensive line are, because that'll help with draft needs and some draft projections there. So are they thinking about moving Cam Robinson? Is there any truth to that? Or is it just kind of what, I don't know, fans have been writing and I've been seeing on my timeline?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of truth to that, and I'm also not sure there was a whole lot of healthy Cam Robinson on the field last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see him ride out with him this year. Jawan Taylor's been a good piece. They just re-signed Tyler Shatley. I wouldn't expect them to move Robinson, but again, you never know with this front office, but that would be my take on that.
I tried to tell you, Trev.
I had to get the real Ben on.
I tried to
give me the truth of what was happening here, but that's why we have him on, because he gives us information that we desperately need, or at least that I desperately need, because I'm trying to win the mock draft competition this year. So, Ben, we really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for joining us. That was great.
Hey, anytime. You guys do a great job.
Enjoy the roller coaster that always is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ben, the final pick of the top 10, we got the Cleveland Browns. It's a big one. Excited for our guest. You guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.